This is the Shaver Cancer Charity Chat Podcast, Episode 8, sponsored by Office Centers and OPG, Optimal Performance Golf. Thanks for joining us. I'm Randy Shaver. And Dr. Brandon Moriarty is my guest, renowned cancer researcher at the University of Minnesota. We're going to dive into a whole bunch of different things related to cancer research at the U and what Brandon is doing right now. But first of all, thanks for doing this. Second of all, for people that don't know, tell a little bit about yourself, because you're a Minnesota guy. Sometimes we get cancer researchers that come to the U and they're not from here. You're a little bit more unusual because you're a homegrown kind of guy. Tell us a little bit about where you're from and your background.
Yeah, absolutely. So as you said, yeah, born and raised here in Minnesota, never left. I was actually grew up in Faribault, Minnesota, just south of the Twin Cities there, and ended up doing my Bachelor of Arts degree in Northfield, Minnesota at St. Olaf College, where I studied chemistry and biology. And that's also where I really found my passion for research. Once I wrapped up there, I was able to get into a PhD program at the University of Minnesota, where I trained under the guidance of David Largaspada. And there we did cancer gene discovery. So we were trying to figure out which genes actually cause different pediatric cancers, and then got really interested in therapeutics and immunotherapies. And so after I finished my training with David, I was able to start my own laboratory in the Department of Pediatrics at the U of M. And that's what I've been doing for the last 10 years, is really focusing on developing new immunotherapies and then translating those into new clinical trials for both pediatric patients and also adult patients as well.
So I know a little bit more about you than the average person. School wasn't, I mean, you were good in school, but you hated science. You were not a science guy. So
that's right.
How did you end up turning all of that around? Because for me, science isn't one of those things I just click and go, yeah, I love it now. It just doesn't happen. So how did it happen for you?
Yeah, definitely in high school, science was not my favorite subject, for sure. I tried to avoid it. What I actually enjoyed was kind of linguistics, and I took actually 4 years of German in high school, and I really excelled there, kind of did mediocre in the rest of the classes. And actually, towards the end of my senior year, I wasn't even sure if I was going to go to college or anything. And my parents actually happened to work at St. Olaf College, so they were heavy duty custodians over there. And no one in my family had ever gone to college before, so they were really interested in having me give it a go. And so I ended up actually applying to St. Olaf and also to the University of Minnesota. And as I mentioned, I was mediocre in high school. And so I was actually waitlisted at the U of M. And then at St. Olaf, I was really fortunate to be selected to be part of the TRIO program. Yep. For underrepresented minorities, first generation college students, and people with disabilities. And so that's really why I was selected as a candidate to potentially go to St. Olaf. And the way that the program worked is you had to come right as soon as you graduated in June, and you had to come for a summer-long educational experience, if you will, so that they take about 40 students that meet the criteria, but wouldn't normally be admitted to St. Olaf because they lack the right grades and ACT scores. And they basically took the summer and trained us, you know, how to learn and how to live on your own and be a college student. And then we also had to take an intro biology class, which I was not looking forward to. But actually, you know, I got there and I was so concerned that I wouldn't get in, or I'd get in and, you know, not do well, that I really applied myself. And I actually found that I really enjoyed biology, surprisingly, and ended up acing the class. And then you had to take some basic chemistry classes the first year. And once I took those, I really fell in love with chemistry, like even more so than biology. And then that was kind of the initiating time factor, I guess, where I really fell in love with the sciences and, you know, worked really hard to do well there. And yeah, that was the beginning.
So have you ever gone back to your high school, to your chemistry teacher and your science teacher, and said, hey, guess what I'm doing now?
Yeah, I haven't really had the chance to do that. Unfortunately, one of the chemistry teachers, he kind of passed away before I got a chance to reconnect with him, but I should go back and reconnect with my biology teacher. I think that'd be really fun.
So talk a little bit about what you're doing. You touched on it briefly in the intro you gave us, but dive a little bit more specifically into the cancer research that you are involved with right now, because you're an engineer, you're an entrepreneur, you've got a lot of things going on, all of that heading towards getting the right treatments to patients to find a way to make their lives better. So talk a little bit about that.
Yeah, definitely. When I started my lab, I had a very clear vision of what I wanted to work on. And that's basically what I term translational genome engineering. And so the focus of this is really using immune cells, from the patient or healthy donors, using genome engineering to change the genetic code of those cells to give them new functions or properties that make them better, faster, stronger for fighting cancer. And the reason I was immediately drawn to this immunotherapy approach is that for those that don't know, your immune system is really your best defense around never getting cancer. It's only when your immune system fails to recognize early events of cancer initiation that they're allowed to grow into a cancer that can be detected clinically. And so, really, we know that the immune system is our best mechanism. It's just sometimes it fails to do its job. And so that's why I truly believe that this cellular-based cancer immunotherapy is the cure for cancer. We just need to hone it in, optimize it for each individual cancer, because each cancer has different challenges that are presented to these immune cells to really allow them to be effective. So that's what we're working on in many different cancers. We're changing the genetic code of different cells and then applying them preclinically to figure out which ones work the best. And then we work with clinicians and industry partners to actually get these into patients and test them in a real clinical setting.
And you're doing that right now. You've got it to some patients. Talk a little bit about that.
Yeah, definitely. So since starting the lab 10 years ago, we've launched 10 or 6 clinical trials. Some in osteosarcoma, a rare pediatric bone cancer, non-Hodgkin's lymphoma, multiple myeloma, and also lung cancer and gastrointestinal cancer. I would think one of the most exciting ones that is going to be coming out towards the end of the month is actually a trial where we treated 12 patients with highly metastatic gastrointestinal cancer. And we saw remarkable responses in almost all the patients. So we saw slowing of tumor growth, even stalling completely. And then we had one young woman who had metastatic GI cancer that now has an ongoing complete cure, now over 2.5 years
That's
out.
amazing.
Yeah, and that's like one of the early kind of seminal events in my independent career, I think, because I've always thought if I could just touch, one person with cancer and really help them out, that would like just be a great moment in my career. And it's been incredible to see that just in the last few years. So that's pretty exciting for me.
For people that don't necessarily understand cancer research and how it works, things just don't happen overnight. It takes time. And it takes money. It takes commitment. It takes commitment from not just the researchers themselves, but from the universities and from people like us, the Shaver Fund, that supports cancer researchers here in Minnesota. I know since 2015 that we have granted you about $500,000 to continue your research. Talk a little bit about that part of the equation, getting the money, how important it is, what you end up doing with that money to allow you to continue that, to get more money to allow you to continue that research.
Yeah, definitely. And philanthropic organizations like the Shaver Fund are just critical to allowing us to really do what we want to do in research and helping patients. So what we've done over the last 10 years with these investments from the Shaver Foundation is we've done pilot experiments, proving out early on some of our new ideas for being able to change the genetic code of cells to treat given cancer indications. And what we've been able to do, fortunately, is utilize that data to apply for national level competitive grants from the National Institutes of Health and the Department of Defense. And these grants are talking, several million dollars over, 5 to 6 years. And so luckily, we've been able to take your generous investments. And actually, we did the numbers a few months ago, and we've turned that half million into $12 million of funding over the course of the last 10 years. And a number of them now are on their way into clinical trials. Actually, the next one will be for ovarian cancer using an engineered natural killer cell. And that has been supported by the Shaver Foundation for, I think, the last 7 or 8 years in some capacity. So that would not happen without support from philanthropic organizations like.
And you and I have talked before. It's a little unusual for an organization like ours that basically gives seed money to researchers to get their project started. Sometimes organizations will do that, then they'll say, well, he's on his way, and we'll move on to someone else. We're different in the sense that when we see success or we see progress, we keep it going. Because we want you guys, because research takes so much time, we want you to continue to be supported to reach the goals that you have, because obviously you've done some great things with that money. Don't you agree that that's what makes it a little bit more unique too?
Yeah, definitely. A lot of the organizations you'll see, they even will target early investigators and kind of not allow established investigators to apply for those grants. That's very common. And so I think this is a great model of philanthropy where you continue to invest as the investigators grow and succeed. And then, if they're really successful, even over the last few years, I've gotten larger influxes of investment from your foundation because you're seeing the success, you're seeing it going into clinic, helping patients. That's definitely unique, and I think it's a really good model.
So, how is the U looked at around the country when it comes to cancer research? I mean, we're kind of in our own bubble. We see you guys, we know you guys. How is the University of Minnesota looked at across the country when it comes to the kind of things that you're doing right now?
Yeah, that's a really interesting question. And I would say that we are kind of under appreciated in the impact that we've had in this space. The university has been an institution of many firsts, right? The first bone marrow transplants were done here. Some of the earliest genome engineering tools were developed here, things of that nature. And really, the coast, the East and the West Coast universities get a lot of the press because there's a lot of elite, institutes in concentrated areas. And so we are kind of overlooked in some instances as just kind of like a flyover Midwest state. But I can tell you that there's been a lot of really good research done here and new therapies developed here that have impacted many patients. So my hope is that, we can be one of the components from the U of M that really bring it more in the spotlight and it becomes more appreciated as, a front runner in cancer therapies.
So if there's someone out there that's watching or listening, and maybe they've had some experience with cancer, whether it's themselves or a family member, a friend, a coworker, whatever, what would you tell them about being encouraged about what we're seeing in the treatment of cancer and cures of cancer? What gets you excited? Why should we be encouraged that we are heading down the right path?
Yeah, I mean, it's one of the most exciting times, I think, in the development of new cancer therapy is, historically, the treatments are, surgery, remove the tumor, high dose chemotherapy to treat the remaining tumor cells, and which we all know we've either experienced ourselves or friends that have gone through this, and it's just devastating to your body, and it's just a terrible experience that can even lead to other cancers from the treatment, which is terrible. And so some of these newer ones that are leveraging the immune system, either by directly using cells like we do, or using new biologics to influence the immune cells in the patient directly, not only are we seeing a lot more efficacy and cures from these strategies, but the toxicity is extremely low and in some cases non-existent as compared to like chemotherapy. So that's, I think I'm excited because we're seeing success finally in cancers that we've been able to do nothing for like 40 years, but also the toxicity associated with chemotherapy and other treatments of the past is going to be phased out, hopefully completely, where now we have something that's very effective, very safe, that has good outcomes, you know. So it's an exciting time to be in this space for sure.
Last question. You have taken it upon yourself to create a business to be able to get this, your findings, your treatments, whatever, out there. Is that unusual still, or is that becoming more commonplace in cancer research, where before the universities would just take it and release it, or however it worked, you guys are kind of taking it more upon yourselves to handle that part of it too.
Yeah, definitely. And I think that's one of the great things about the University of Minnesota that maybe you don't see at some of the other universities is they
Yeah.
really foster entrepreneurship. They want us to start companies and, you know, out-license the intellectual property that we developed from the U of M. And you certainly don't see that everywhere. And when you do see that some other places, they're too aggressive in the sense that they want a lot of ownership of
Right.
the company, whereas, you know, the entrepreneurs that are actually doing it should hold most of the company. And so the U of M is very generous in that regard. Like we talk to venture capitals that we're getting funding from, and they can't even believe how generous the U of M is compared to your, you know, Stanford, Harvard, et cetera, where they really overreach and try and take too much. But I think, you know, the exciting thing for me about starting these companies, it's not the potential for financial gain. It's more so it's a whole nother shot on goal at really helping patients and getting therapies into the clinic because we can't do it all at the university lab. And so this whole other entity now builds a new team of researchers and leaders that can really take a product into clinic quickly in parallel to what we're already doing in our academic lab. So it's pretty exciting.
I would think that would inspire people to come work at the U, that are cancer researchers, knowing that you have that opportunity to take what your life's work and take it to the steps that you want to take yourself.
Yeah, absolutely. Like when we're recruiting new investigators to come to the U of M, we always make sure to let them know this, and they're always surprised because that is a huge, another positive attribute of, you know, being at the University of Minnesota, definitely.
Well, Brandon, I appreciate you doing this. Dr. Brandon Moriarty, as you've heard, has been at the U for quite a while, does some outstanding research, and is really making a difference. And I appreciate not only your work but your friendship too. You've been wonderful to our organization. Thanks for doing this. I appreciate it.
Absolutely. Thanks so much.
And thanks to everybody for watching and listening to the podcast, which is sponsored by Office Centers and OPG. Until next time, thanks for watching. And if you would like to get involved in some way or another with our organization, all you have to do is go to randyshavercancerfund.org. Thank you.